Morning. Today's daf in Makos is Tezvav. We are in Yud Amud Beis. Just finished a discussion in the Gemara yesterday as we introduced ourselves to the third parak of Makos, where the Gemara is describing the Machlokas, three-way Machlokas amongst the Tanayim, in terms of one is going to be subject to Makos. The prototype case of Makos is going to be Chasima. You're going to hear that a lot throughout the third parak of Makos. The case of Chasima, the Torah says, Lo sachsom shor bedisha. One is not allowed to muzzle his animal while the animal is threshing. So, I know none of us have a farm, none of us have wheat that we're going to thresh, none of us have animals. So this particular case is not one which we're going to have to worry about or encounter. But it does set up the prototype. It sets up the case, the model case in which one is going to get malchus. And that, of course, is where you, in order to violate the law of the Torah, you have to do an action. Meaning that the violation of the law is going to require you to take out your muzzle, muzzle the animal, close up its mouth, so that the animal will not be able to bend down and eat some of the food that it's that's threshing. So, okay, and as we discussed yesterday, could be Tzar Bali Chaim as part of the issue, part of the concern of the Torah. But again, we're not interested in that. We're interested right now in just understanding, when is a person going to get malchus? So it's a lav. It has to be a lav. Sheyesh b'maisa a lav, where an action is required. Is there any other penalty for the lo sachsom? The answer is no. In other words, the only penalty of the Torah is malchus. What if there's going to be another penalty? Meaning, what if with this malchus comes coupled with it kares? What if this malchus comes coupled with it mises beis din? So are you going to get malchus for that? So that has been a discussion and a debate that we've had. You have to also take into consideration, as we discussed extensively yesterday, the rule of Mishum Risha Achas Atamechaiva Vi Atamechaiva Shtei Rishayos. That when a person is going to get punished by Beis Din only has one punishment that they can administer, they cannot administer more than one punishment. So given that that's the case, so you have to take that into consideration. Let's say a person did a lav in the Torah, but in it has the penalty of, let's say, Mises Beis Din. So, for example, Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, so a person violates Shabbos and intentionally. So it's a law in the Torah, but at the same time also subject to capital punishment. Witnesses come over and say, don't do that. If you do that, you're going to get malchus. Is the guy going to get malchus? So we discussed that yesterday as well. So, and the argument you can make is, look, yes, he's going to get malchus. That's an argument. It's not the accepted halacha. But the argument you can make is that he's going to get malchus because he violated a law in the Torah and he did an action in violating the law in the Torah. So what did we see yesterday? We saw yesterday a three-way machlokas. First, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. This is all just a recap of yesterday. First, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that even if it's a lav, hanita lazarus beis misas beis din, so he's still subject to malchus. Now, so Rabbi Shmuel's answer would be, yeah, he's going to get malchus for such a case. Now, as we discussed yesterday, even within Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, is that where he got warned for both? Is that where you only got warned for Malchus? So that the Gemara you had discussed yesterday, deliberated yesterday. But anyway, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is still going to be a Malchus on the book, even for Mises, for Alav and Ital, Mises Beis Din. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says that if it's a capital crime, he's not going to get Malchus. Even if the warning was for Malchus, he's not going to get Malchus. Malchus is not on the books for Alav and Ital, Mises Beis Din. So the only time you're going to get Malchus is where it's a standard Malchus, like Lo Sachsom. Or even if there's curries coupled together with it. If there's curries coupled together with it, you're still going to get malchus. We asked the question yesterday, how come? That's two penalties, malchus and curries. But the answer the Gemara gave yesterday, the Gemara gave a couple answers yesterday, but the answer that the Gemara seemed happiest with is the fact that curries is coming from Shemayim. Malchus is coming from Beis Din Shomata. So those are two different penalties. Beis Din is in fact restricted in giving one penalty, but that means Beis Din is only going to give one penalty. The fact that he's going to get curses from the Shamayim, that's not Beis Din's concern, and so therefore he'll get Malchus even though he's getting curses as well. And finally, the third opinion that we saw yesterday is Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says that anytime you have a lav that has curses coupled with it, there is no Malchus. In other words, the curses is the punishment, Malchus is not going to be the punishment. In terms of where all this is derived from, so that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf spent a lot of time going through the standard. You know, this pasuk is coming to tell me if this halacha according to him, what's the other Tana going to do with that pasuk again? And the Gemara juggled around the various pasukim in terms of how each Tana is going to respond to each one of the pasukim. As far as the halacha is concerned, we follow the middle position, Rabbi Akiva. Meaning that for a lav and itel not lemisas beis din, you're not going to get malchus, but for a lav that has karis coupled with it, so again, with due process, you are going to get malchus. Okay, adkat. That takes us to the what we got to yesterday. We are on Yudal Amud Beis. The Gemara now is going to spend just a couple of minutes discussing the next case in the Mishnah. And we are discussing Tamish Achos HaKodesh. A person in the state of Tumah, he eats Karban. So even though that is subject to an Issakaris, you are going to get Malkus. Again, this is our Mishnah. And as Gemara already pointed out, but I'll just simply say it again, our Mishnah follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Even though it has a Karis penalty, you're still going to get Malkus if you have received a warning. The Gemara starts off, Bishlamahacha. I'm sorry. Let me read that better. Thank you. Okay. Maybe the prescription needs to get better. Going into the Beis HaMikdash while in the state of Tumah, so the Psukim outline both the Azara, meaning the warning, and also the Onish, and also the punishment as well. So we have two Psukim that outline the both, and the Gemara says, and we're good, and there's no problem. Meaning, everything is spelled out in the Torah nice and clear. However, but if I have a person while in the state of Tumah who is eating Karban, where do I have these clear psukim delineated? Now, Bishlama, Onish k'ziva nefesh eshetocha basa mizevach shlamim shel Hashem v'tumasa olav v'nichrasa. Punishment, clearly articulated in the Torah, that's good. El azara minayim, but where do we find the warning in the Torah? Where is there a proper warning in the Torah that tells us that someone in a state of Tumah is not allowed to eat Kodesh? Rashi notes over here that Rashi writes, I think I have a pasuk, but Rashi realizes it doesn't work. Meaning, obviously, the Gemara itself is going to give an answer, but if you look at the Rashi, El Azara Minalan, Rashi says, Lekala Meimar. Rashi is halfway down on the Amud. Lekala Meimar mi bekashim lo yochal. So there is a pasuk that seems to clearly indicate you're not allowed to eat Kodesh. The Lo Mari bekashim ele betruma. But Rashi says that's not talking about carbon, that's talking about truma. And Rashi says, and I know that because the Torah says anyone from Shevet Aaron, otherwise known as being a Kohen. So, and that pasuk is referring to all Kohanim, male and female. What are all Kohanim entitled to eat, male and female? The answer is truma. The answer is not karban. Certain karbanas are excluded from women, meaning chatas. A woman is not allowed to eat a karban chatas. Furthermore, notes Rashi, a woman who is a bas kohen who marries a Yisrael, so during her marriage to Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat any of the matnos kahuna, but if in the event that she goes back and she doesn't have a child, so what is she going to go back to? She can't eat chaz v'shok, she can't eat the portions of an animal that's given to a kohen, portions of a shlamim that are eaten by the kohen, but what she is allowed to eat is she's allowed to eat truma. So in other words, again, the idea is that truma is a universal truma, can be eaten by all kohanim, male and female. Karbanos, that's not the case. Anyway, Rashi just simply says that is not the that's not the pasuk. So now we know what's not the pasuk. So what is the pasuk? Where do we see that a tummy person is not allowed to eat karban? Onish k'siv anefesh asher tocha. I'm sorry, where did I go? Bishlam onish k'siv. I read this, but I'll read it again. So back to the Gemara. As far as onish is concerned, vanefesh asher tocha basim mitzvah chashamim shel Hashem v'tumas olav v'nichrasa. Elaz arminayim. Where is the iser in the Torah? Reish Lakish omer bechol kodesh lo stiga. And Rav Yochanan Amar Tini Bardala Asya Tumasa Tumasa. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, he has the pasuk. The pasuk says Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. Now that pasuk admittedly is talking about touching, but stay tuned. And Rav Yochanan says he learns it from a Braisa Tumasa Tumasa. He learns it from a Gzeres Shavah. Ksiv Hachav Tumasa Olav VeNechrosav Ksiv Hasam Tame Yiya Od Tumasa Bo Malahalan Onish VaAzara Afkan Onish VaAzara. So the Gzeres Shavah will link together the parsha of going into the Beis HaMikdash, the parsha of eating karban, just like by going into the Beis HaMikdash, onesh v'azara, so too by eating karban in the state of Tumah, onesh v'azara. Now, Bishlam Reish Lakish lo amar k'Rav Yochanan k'zera sheva lo gamer. Now, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, his dismissal of Rav Yochanan is simply because he doesn't have the k'zera sheva as Rav Yochanan had it. Okay, we've noted this already a number of times in learning together. Let's just say it again. Reish Lakish learned by Rav Yochanan. It is strange, just an admission. It's strange that Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan has the Gzeres Shavah, and Reish Lakish doesn't have the Gzeres Shavah. In other words, the Gzeres Shavah only is coming from a Rebbe. And Reish Lakish's Rebbe was Rav Yochanan. You have to say, I mean, I'm going to say it because I think it's correct, you have to say that Reish Lakish learned by other Rebbeim as well. meaning that Rav Yochanan was one of his Rebbeim and certainly motivated him to become, you know, to become a Talmid Chacham. But you have to say that Reish Lakish learned by other Rebbeim as well. Ella Rav Yochanan, my time alone, I'm a Reish Lakish. But why doesn't Rav Yochanan hold like Reish Lakish? So I'm a Lachah, who has Erel Truma. So Rav Yochanan says that pasuk you just quoted me. It's not talking about carbon; it's talking about Truma. Reish Lakish has Erel Truma Menale Nafkele Me Ish Isha Mizera Aaron Vehutza Ruah Zav. So, and as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, the Azara for Truma, that comes from a different pasuk. Which pasuk? The pasuk that Rashi quoted. Meaning, Rashi knew the Gemara coming up. Rashi knew that this pasuk was going to be up for discussion. This pasuk is not talking about eating carbon in a state of Tuma. This pasuk is talking about eating Truma in a state of Tuma. So, Ezu Udavar Shushav, Azara Shahar, and Havi Amar Zetruma. Something that is unilateral by a Kohen, meaning both male and female can eat it, that's Truma. That's not carbon. Carbon. Some karbanos are not eaten by female kohanim, again, chatas. Or a bas kohen who was married to Yisrael and then divorces or becomes widowed, she returns to her family, she doesn't eat chazav ishok. So in other words, women kohanim are barred from eating certain karbanos, but women kohanim are never barred from eating truma. So I know that the pasuk is talking about truma. V'idach, how lechila v'hal negiya. Now as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, so... Rav Yochanan will tell you that one pasuk is coming to teach me about touching Kodesh while in a state of Tumah, and another pasuk is coming to teach me about eating in a state of Tumah. Reish Lakish, hai b'chol kodesh lo siga la'achud asa. Now the Gemara is bothered by the fact that according to Reish Lakish, so where do we learn out the Isser in the Torah that, the Azhara in the Torah, the warning in the Torah that a person while in a state of Tumah is not allowed to eat, so he learns it from the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. So the Gemara says, I thought Reish Lakish learns it for a different iser, notably touching, meaning not eating carbon in a state of tumah, but touching. Did Tamish Anaga Bekodesh? You have somebody who's in a state of tumah who touches carbon, renders the carbon tameh. Reish Lakish Amar Loka Rav Yochanan Amar Eino Loka. So Reish Lakish says you're going to get malchus. Reish Lakish Amar Loka Bechol Kodesh Osika. And Reish Lakish's pasuk supporting his position, you're going to get malchus. The pasuk says it straight out. The Torah says that you're not allowed to touch carbon while in the state of tuma, and that's a lav. That's a classic lav of lo. So Reb Yochanan in loke how azar l'truma hudasa. Now as far as Reb Yochanan is concerned, no, that pasuk of course the pasuk is a lav, but that pasuk is not talking about carbon. That pasuk is talking about truma. So the problem now is that according to Reish Lakish, I have this pasuk teaching me not about eating, but the pasuk's teaching me about touching. So again, with the question that we started off the whole discussion is that if somebody whose tummy is eating carbon is going to be subject to malchus. Again, the onus is very clear in the Torah. Where is the azara coming from? So Reish Lakish points to the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo siga. The problem is that we just learned together that according to Reish Lakish, that pasuk is not talking about eating the kodesh. The pasuk is talking about touching the kodesh. Answers the Gemara. Tamei shenaga b'kodesh mida afke rechmana b'lashen negia azara itkish kodesh lamikdash. So the Gemara's answer is basically as follows. That look, you're right. Meaning as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, the pasuk is principally talking about touching. Meaning, let me say a little bit better. The pasuk is principally talking about eating. But since it frames it using the verb of touching, so therefore included in this pasuk is both a law for touching and a law for eating as well. So the Gemara now just goes one step further in this discussion. And that is, what about eating from the carbon before Zrikas Adam? Meaning your tummy, you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you eat from a carbon before Zrikas Adam. Are you going to be subject to Malchus? Now here it gets a little bit trickier because we know that before Zrikas Adam, no one's allowed to eat it. Meaning that by carbonus, one of the more basic rules is that it's not mutar ba'achila. A carbon is not ready to be eaten, allowed to be eaten until after Zrikas Adam. Once you do Zrikas Adam, now we're going to be discussing time again throughout Zvachim and Menachos. That is a matir that allows now for the carbon to be eaten by people who are allowed to eat it. Before that point in time, you're not allowed to eat the carbon. So now, what if you're tummy and you eat the carbon before Zrikas Adam? Are you going to be subject to Malchus to Itmar? The Gemara has a debate about this. Tamei shalcha basa kosher lefnei Zrikas Adam. Reish Lakish amar loka. Rav Yochanan amar eino loka. So here we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says you are subject to Malchus. Rav Yochanan says you're not. Reish Lakish amar loka bechol kosher lo siga. Lo shna lefnei Zrika, v'lo shna la'achar Zrika. So Reish Lakish applies this pasuk to before Zrika and after Zrika. And Rav Yochanan Amar, Eino Lokev, Rav Yochanan Tami, Damakra, Tumaso, V'chiksev, Tumaso L'achar Zrika, Hu Dechsev. And Rav Yochanan has a drasha, Exer Shava, in terms of how he knows that the Isser of eating a carbon is only after Zrika's Dam, not before Zrika's Dam. So, question. How, according to Rav Yochanan, do I know that a person is going to be subject to Malkus for eating a carbon before Zrika's Dam while he's in a state of Tumah? And the answer is he learns it from the Pasuk. But if he learns it from this Pasuk, so then we have now this Pasuk dedicated for another Halacha and not for the original Halacha. So the Gemara says, Ha'umi b'chol kodesh nafka. So the Gemara says, no, we're actually learning out both points. And since the Torah uses kol kodesh, kol is a ribui, kol always serves as a ribui. So it comes to tell me that one is going to be subject to Malkus not only after Zrikas Hadam, but even before Zrikas Hadam as well. Tanya Kavasa, the Reish Lakish, finishing up this discussion of the Gemara. A Braisa supporting Reish Lakish's position. Meaning, again, the discussion started with, how do I know where's the pasuk in the Torah that tells me that a person eating a carbon while in state of Tumah is subject to Malkus? Meaning the onish is clear, but where's the Azara? So here the Braisa says it, just like Reish Lakish said it. V'chol korsh losika azar la'ochal. The Torah's azara over here, the warning is for achila. Ata omer azar la'ochal, no ela azar la'nogea. How do I know? Maybe the azar in the Torah is only for touching. Tamalam rebechol korsh losika ve'la mikdash. Mekish kodesh la'mikdash. A clear connection between kodesh, meaning the carbon, and the base of mikdash. Ma mikdash, davashish bo netilas neshama, av kol davashish bo netilas neshama. So that means that contextually we now know that whatever is being violated in this pasuk is going to be subject to kares. Walking into the base of mikdash while in state of tumah, kares. Doing something with a carbon, meaning I know the Torah says negia, but as you'll see in just a moment, it can't be negia. Why? Because I know the result is going to be kares. The Torah in that same pasuk talks both about mikdash and kodesh. So it has to be something that's going to result in kares. Ibn negia meika netilas neshama. Now, if we're just talking about negia, so we know that for touching a carbon, although it's a law in the Torah, but it's not subject to kares. Meaning the Torah never articulates that one is going to be subject to kares for simply touching carbon. The Torah does say that you're going to be subject to kares for eating a carbon while in a state of tumah. So therefore, just simply by context, by virtue of the fact that the pasuk puts together kodesh and mikdash, so therefore I know that we are talking about something that's eligible for kares, and when it comes to mikdash walking in, when it comes to kodesh, the carbon, it has to be talking about achila, and that's the Bryce's conclusion, ela ba'achila. So, and this Bryce is certainly supportive of Rav Yochanan's idea that where do we know that eating carbon while in state of tumah is subject to malchus? So it comes out from the pasuk, not the gzeirah shava, as Rav Yochanan reports. Okay, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, and now as we are on the very bottom of Yudalmud Beis and we're turning to today's daf, so now the Gemara is going to be starting a more classic discussion regarding Malkus, and that is the idea of Lav Anitak Lase. Lav Anitak Lase, it's very straightforward, it's very simple. Where Torah tells me not to do something, and then if I do it, the Torah tells me, and here's the way to remedy the situation. Classic example would be Nosar. Okay, by Nosar, the Torah says that I have a carbon that has to be eaten within a certain time frame. Every carbon that are allowed to be eaten is given a certain time frame in which you eat it. Typically speaking, Kodesh HaKadoshim is going to be eaten for one day and the night following. And when it comes to Kodesh Kachik Kalim, typically, generally, so you're given 2 days to eat it. You're given today, the night, and the next day in which you're allowed to eat it. Okay, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. There are exceptions, but that's the basic idea. And we also know that if, let's say, any of the carbon is left over after that point in time, so that now is deemed nosar, and you violated the Isra in the Torah of lo so siru mimenu ad boker. You left over, and you're not allowed to leave over. No leftovers. Okay. And then the Torah says, and what if you do leave out leftovers? So then the Torah gives you a formula of what you're supposed to do, by shtisrofu. So you take the nosar and you burn in fire. So since the Torah gives you a remedy of what to do in the event that you violated the law of the Torah, this is what we refer to classically as a law of nitak laaseh, where if you violate the law, the Torah gives you a way of correcting the situation. So therefore, there's no eligibility for Malkus in such a scenario. This is what Rav Yochanan is teaching us. And I'm going to read the wording of Rav Yochanan, and we read the Rashi, because the Rashi over here is critical. Rav Yochanan says, I'm a rabba b'chana, I'm Rav Yochanan kolos aseh. Shekidmu ase lokin alav. Anytime you have a lo sase, where there's also an ase that revolves around the lo sase, but the ase comes before the lo sase, so lokin alav. Meaning to say like this, it's not going to be categorized under the category of lav anitak lase, and therefore it's going to be subject to malchus. And so, let's see the Rashi inside. Well, before we see the Rashi inside, what Rav Yochanan is basically telling us is that, yes, there's such a thing as lav anitak lase. And yes, you're not going to get malchus for lav anitak lase. But to be clear, that's only when the ase is only introduced after you violated the lav. If the ase exists before the lav is even there, so then this doesn't fall under the category of a lav anitak lase, therefore it's a standard lav, therefore you're going to get malchus. Hopefully that was clear. And to make it even clearer, what exactly do I mean that when I say, or when the Gemara says, that the ase existed before the lo sase? Does the Gemara mean by that that it's actually in the pasuk? You've actually find the ase before the lo sase? Or maybe it's not just a question of how it is in the pasuk, but just simply the existence of the ase. Meaning that the ase exists independent of the lav. Rashi seems to go like the latter, like the way I just said it. That as long as the mitzvah's ase exists independent of the lav, so even though you violated the lav, and even though there's a way to correct it through the ase, but this doesn't fall under the category of lav anitak lase. Lav anitak lase is only going to be when the ase is present only when you violated the lav. Nosar is such a good example. Meaning the Torah says that if you leave over nosar, so you burn it, ba'ish tisrofu. Does the mitzvah ba'ish tisrofu, can it exist outside of the lav? Of course not. Meaning when am I going to have a mitzvah of ba'ish tisrofu? There's a mitzvah to burn nosar. It only exists as a response to the violation of the lav. That's a lav anitak lase. If you have the mitzvah that can exist outside independent of the lav, it's not a lav anitak lase. See the Rashi inside. Read the Rashi inside. Last Rashi on the Amud. Kol lo sase shekidmu ase lokin alav. Ha asal hashminan. Da'afil laman darma lav anitak lase in lokin alav. The wording of Rashi over here is a little bit strange. According to the one who says that lav anitak lase, you're not going to get malchus for. I don't think there's another opinion to the matter, but anyway. So, but the time you went into the bright, lo sasiru vanosu tisrafu ba hakasavli tenase acha lo sase lomar. Shein lokin alav, so Rashi. I mean, I used the example because I knew Rashi was going to. So the example of nosar, a good example of lav anitak lase, shenitek hakasav esase, lios anshol shel lav. The way Rashi formulates it is that the ase is there to be the punishment for the lav. Meaning you violate a lav, what's the punishment? Malchus. But when the Torah gives an ase to remedy it, it's almost as if the ase is there to take the place of the punishment. V'tikuno, it's a correction. Lomar lo sase kach, meaning basically here's how you read the Torah. Don't do that. V'imasisa, ase zos v'ipatero. Well, do this particular action point in order to exempt yourself from the from having done the lav. It's basically you're expunging the lav.
Rabbi, does it? Is it actually you still tie the malchus?
The wording of the Gemara coming up later on is that I mean, we keep saying lav anitak lase. The word lenatik nituk means basically that you are just totally undoing the lav. The wording later on is going to really point in that direction. Right, exactly. And what Rashi's telling us is that no. Meaning that when the Torah's instruction is burn the nosar, the Torah's telling you, you violate the lav, here's how you remedy the situation.
If you don't burn the nosar, then you're again okay.
So right. So in other words, and now, because there's an ase, it's an excellent point, but I'm just going to take your point and arrive at a different conclusion. Because the Torah gives an ase, so that means that there's no eligibility for malchus. Okay.
Do you have time? I mean, how long
is the time? Doesn't matter. In other words, once the Torah gives you this avenue to go down, Malchus no longer becomes an avenue. The road for Malchus now is, you know, blocked off. So, v'ashmin and Rabbi Yochanan hachim ahanim ili ba'aseh haba achar alav. She'in atayocho lekaimo el al achar averis alav. Yeah, perfect. The formulation of Rashi is beautiful. Rashi says that, when do we say lav anitak lase? Only when the lav exists only because the person violated the lav. The aseh exists. Sorry, let me say it correctly. The aseh exists only when you violate the lav. There would never have been an aseh if you didn't violate the lav. Ava aseh shekidem es lav. But let's say the aseh exists before the lav. The ata yachol lakayim akonam averes lav. I can do the mitzvah aseh even before the lav existed. Ein ze nituk halav. This is not the Torah telling you, oh, here's how you correct this lav. Because the aseh was not prescribed for this particular lav. It's like it's generic. In other words, the Torah didn't use it to address this particular lav. And so that means to say that if you did this particular aseh, and even though this particular aseh may undo the lav that you did, it doesn't pot you from malchus. The only time you get potter from malchus is when the lav was super specialized for this particular, when the aseh is specialized for this particular lav. Then and only then are you going to be exempt from the malchus. So okay, yisod of Rav Yochanan. What's that?
He gave an example of
lav. Well, he doesn't have to because the Gemara is going to do that. Okay, it's what's coming up. Okay. Right. Rashi holds her hands, takes this point to the Gemara, but also Rashi knows what's coming up ahead. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana. Yeah. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kolosase, Shikin Maase, Lokan Alav. Okay, so, as we turn now to today's daf, Tezvav Amar Aleph, Amru Lo Amart. So, we're going to learn like Rashi. In other words, they say to Rabbi Yochanan, meaning it's not clear because it was Rabba Bar Bachana quoting Rabbi Yochanan. But let's say that they turn to Rav Yochanan and they say to Rav Yochanan, did you really say this? So Amrulu lo, plausible deniability. I'm not encouraging it, but it does sometimes help. So Rav Yochanan says, no, I never said it. So Amar Rabba Halokim Amra Uksiva Vitanina. So Rabba says, what do you mean you didn't say it? Yeah, you said it. And not only yeah, you said it, but I'm going to support it. I'm going to support the statement that right now you're currently denying. But don't deny it. You said it. And it's good. And why is it good? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Tanina. Well, I have a pasuk, and then I'm going to show you a Mishnah, and I'm going to show you that this rule is fantastic. It's correct. We know the Torah says that, let's say, you are in a state of tumah. So you got to leave. You got to exit. In other words, a person whose tummy cannot be within certain areas. So just, you know, just the basics. I'm going to throw out there. I'm not going to go into detail. But let's say it's tumah yotze migufa. Let's say you have a tumah emanating from your body, right? Ezav, ezava, anida, right? Shech vazera, a balkeri. Thank you, a balkeri. So in those examples, so you can't be. So under those circumstances, you can't be even in the harabais area. Okay, if you are tumay mace. So you can be in the Harabais area, right? In other words, okay, you're not allowed to be in the you're not allowed to be in the Azara. Okay, meaning various levels of Tumah, various geographic areas within the area of Yerushalayim, Harabais, Azara. Okay, but the point is that Vayishach Man Amachane, that there's an essay, there's a positive commandment of if you're Tumah, exit. Now, and we also know there's a lav. There's a lav of, if I'm Tameh, I'm not allowed to go into these areas. So, what are we looking at right now? Is this a lav anitak la'aseh? Think about it. Oh, so right. So Phil says, first there's a positive commandment, and then there's a negative. And again, it goes back to the question that I raised earlier. Meaning, are we looking at just simply in the pasuk, which one's formulated first? Or we'll say like, I want to say like Rashi, in that, can the aseh exist independent of the los aseh? The answer is sure it can exist independent. Tanina habala mikdash tamei. Now, first of all, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that if you go into the base of mikdash while tamei, what are you going to receive? Malchus. Why? Why are you going to receive malchus? Isn't this an example of a lav nitak laseh? So based on Rav Yochanan's rule, it's not an example of lav nitak laseh. Why? Because the mitzvahs aseh can and does exist independent of the lav. Let's say, for example, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you become tameh. Did you violate the law?
No.
No, you didn't enter into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. You just simply were in the Beis HaMikdash and you become Tameh. So what are you supposed to do? You fulfill the mitzvah essay of get out. Meaning the mitzvah, then now you have a positive commandment to get out. The mitzvah's essay exists independent of the lav. Since the mitzvah's essay exists independent of the lav, this is not a lav anitak lasei, even though if you went into the Beis HaMikdash, can you rectify the situation? Sure, by exiting. But that exit was not prescribed specifically for the person who goes into the Beis HaMikdash. It could also apply for the person who becomes Tameh in the Beis HaMikdash. So, this is not a lav anitak lasei, and this is supportive of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, what are you doing denying that you said it? You said it, it's beautiful if it's imperfectly with our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says that you are going to get Malkus for going into the Beis HaMikdash while being Tameh. Elamai Tameh Kahadar Bey, but the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Yochanan obviously knew more information. Meaning, I'm not comparing one to the other, but I'm just saying he knew more. So, obviously, he was denying it for a reason. Something bothered him. Gemara explains. Mishim dekashle onis, detanya onis shigirish. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what bothered Rav Yochanan, and that is, of course, the case of onis. A man's honest a woman, he violates a woman. So, under certain circumstances, there are now three penalties. One, there is a, in other words, in addition to all the nezik that's done, in other words, it's a bodily damage, right? It's an assault, it's a bodily damage, so therefore he has to pay all the chiyuve nezik. Okay, but that's a given. That's compensation. One, on top of that, he also has to pay knas. Two, he has to marry her, assuming that she is agreeable to it. And three, lo yuchal shachal kol yamav. He can never divorce her. There's a law in the Torah for the ma'anes to divorce his wife. Okay. So now, what if after the ones marries his wife, that he was ma'anes, she agreed to it, and then he divorces her? Is he going to get malchus? So, onesh shigirish im Yisrael who machzer v'ein olokeh. So, if he's Yisrael and he's allowed to remarry her, he remarries her, and he's not going to get malchus. Im kohen who loke v'ein olmachzer. However, if he's a kohen, he can't take her back because he's a kohen. He's not allowed to marry a grusha, and so therefore he violated a law with no remedy, no way to rectify the situation. Therefore, malchus. So, im Yisrael hu machzer v'ein olokeh. So the Gemara says, okay, so for the Kohen, there's not much to think about. But for the Yisrael, there's a lot to think about. Meaning, what just happened over here? He violated a law in the Torah. There's a way to remedy the situation by taking her back. Therefore, he's not going to get malchus. So the Gemara says, im Yisrael hu machzer v'ein olokeh, amai, lo sasa shekidmu asehu v'loki. Now, this mitzvah saseh of marrying her existed before the lav, independent of the lav. Meaning, once he was ma'anisar, so did he have yet the lav of lo yuchal shalcha? No, he didn't marry her yet. Was there a mitzvah asay already existing?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So in other words, this mitzvah asay existed before the lav was there. According to Rav Yochanan's rule, this is not a lav anitak asay. Again, lav anitak asay, according to Rav Yochanan, is only when the asay only first presents itself as a response to the lav. But that's not true over here. So since that's not true over here, so that means that whether he does or does not remarry her, he should be subject to malchus. He violated the lav of lo yuchal shalchal kol yamav.
And it's a little because she has to consent, so it's not only up to him.
But let's, okay, agreed, but assuming... Okay, agreed, but let's say she does. And let's say he's still refusing. But in the event that she does and he's refusing, so isn't he in violation of the law? The answer is yes, he is in violation of the law. Of lo yuchal shachav. He wasn't allowed to divorce her, and he did. And now that he divorced her, so is he going to get malchus? So the answer should be yes, because this is not a law of nitak lasei. But the Brisa says he's not going to get malchus. So why not? And it's exactly for this point that Rav Yochanan knew this halacha, and Rav Yochanan said, oh, there, my rule is not, it's not a rule. In other words, what do you want to call this, an exception to the rule? The Gemara is going to try to do that in just a moment. But in other words, it's not a rule. How can it be a rule if this is on the books? Okay. So, Amar Ula. So there are a number of ways to answer up this question, and the Gemara will be spending the remainder of this Amar trying to answer this question. How come the case of a machzir gushaso of an ones. How come you aren't going to get malchus? You should be getting malchus. Amar ula lo yomar lo siya le'isha ba'ones v'ligmar me'motzi shema. So the Gemara now, this is Ula's attempted answer, and we're going to have a number of versions of this attempted answer. But before we start with this answer, let's just make sure that we have the ground rules down. Right? There are a couple of situations in the Torah where the Torah says, lo yuchal shacha, you can't divorce her. One is by the ma'anis that we just described, and the other one is by motzi shema. Man marries a woman, and after the first night, starts defaming, maligning his wife. Goes to court and says she wasn't the basula. And he makes these claims. Now, if he's right, so then it needs to be determined why wasn't she a basula, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's defamation, if the man just came to court and just made up a story regarding his wife, so for that, there's serious consequences for defamation of her character in such a situation. One, he has to pay her a kanas and a significant kanas, 100 shkalim, highest kanas in the Torah. Two is that he's not allowed to divorce her, and three is that if he divorces her, he's going to have to remarry her. Okay, so another example in the Torah where we have this construct of a man's not allowed to divorce his wife. So now motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra shelo asa ma'isa merachman velosi elisha onus lo kol shekein. Now, in the case of motzi shemra, I didn't do an action, meaning, as we've discussed time and again, verbalization, it's dibur. So it's not, in terms of the hierarchy of things that you've done wrong, it's terrible, but it's not a ma'isa. And yet the Torah says, lo yuchal shacha. So if now that's true by motzi shemra, isn't it for sure going to be true by onis? In other words, lo yuchal shacha, where he did an action, imenu in yilafan of tenu leinyan acharav shim girish yachzir. Ah, so here's what Ula is suggesting. Since I don't need the lo yuchal shacha by onis, because I could have just simply brought it in from motzi shemra, because motzi shemra, if you're going to have the yis of lo yuchal shacha by motzi shemra, you're for sure going to have it by ones. Motzi shemra is dibor. Ones is maisa. So it's literally the classic example of kal v'chomer. So if it's true by the kal, it's certainly going to be true by the chomer. And it's just 1 second. I hear you. Just give me a moment. So then what we're going to have to do then is, since now I already would have known lo yuchal shacha by ones, so therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the lo yuchal shacha by ones and now basically break it off and now reapply it. And now once I break it off and reapply it, what is it coming to do? Lav ha-nitak la'aseh. It's there now to just simply remedy the situation of what if it divorced her. Ve'akad de'onis memotzi shema lo gamar de'ik alamifrach. So the Gemara says, what did you just do? You think that motzi shemra is kal and onis is chamor. Gemara says, ma'la motzi shemra shekin loka mashalim. Motzi shemra is not kal. How can you call motzi shemra kal? You know what happens when a man's motzi shemra? I missed an important point, by the way, which now I get to say. For motzi shemra, he's going to get malchus. And he's going to pay. What do you mean? Ain lokin mishalim. Yeah, that's right. Normally, ain lokin mishalim. Motzi shemra is a notable exception, where you get malchus and you pay. How can you call motzi shemra more kal, when meanwhile, loka mishalim? Ela lo yomar lo siya le'isha oksa. The Gemara says, okay. So that was attempt number one. Gemara rejects it. Attempt number two. Ela lo yomar lo siya le'isha b'motzi shemra v'ligmar mi'ones. All right, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's do like this. Don't tell me lo yuchal shacha by motzi shemra. Learn it from ones. Ma'ones she'en aloka mishalem ha'marachman av'lo siya le'isha motzi shemra lo kol shekein. So now, I already know lo yuchal shacha kol yamav from ones. Ones being more kal than motzi shemra. Now, I know that's a hard argument to make, but we're making it right now. Ones is more kal because you only pay. Motzi shemra, loke umishalim. You get malchus and you pay. So if we have lo yuchal shacha kol yamav by ones, motzi shemra, it's not necessary. And since it's not necessary, so what are we going to do with lo yuchal shacha by, that's written by motzi shemra? We're going to cut it out. And here's the strange part. And what are we going to do? We're going to reapply it. Reapply to the case of ones. I know that was a jump. I know that, but that's what the Gemara is going to suggest. V'lama namar, im enyo inyan lamotzi shemra, teneo inyan laones. Im eno inyan lafanav, teneo la inyan acharav. So now the lo yuchal shalchav that we cut out from motzi shemra, and we cut it out because we don't need it because of the kavachomer, we're going to now reapply it to ones, and we're going to reapply it to acharav, and therefore creating a lav anitak lase, and that's why you're not going to get malchus. Now, all this is built on the argument, on the Kal v'chomer, that motzi shemra is more chomer than ones. And, of course, you can easily dismiss that argument, and the Gemara does that right now. Motzi shemra mi'ones namelo gamer dikal mifrach mala ones shekein asa ma'isa. How can you say that motzi shemra is more chomer? You know, by ones, it's an action. Motzi shemra, it's dibur. Ella. So now we are now in attempt number three. Lo yomer lo yisia le'isha b'motzi shemra sharei ishto hi. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we could say. Lo yisia le'isha. The positive instruction of, and you're going to marry her. You see, by ones, I understand that. The two of you were not married. Man violated a woman. She was a penuya. She was a single woman. Man violated her. The Torah says, v'lo yisia le'isha. Oh, I understand that. In other words, they're not married, and the Torah says to him, okay, that's your wife. And again, of course, only if she's agreeable. But there's a mitzvah aseh for the man. By motzi shemra, the pasuk of lo yisia le'isha is a strange pasuk. And you must marry her. Okay, news alert, news flash. They're already married. Meaning the case of motzi shemra is where he married her, and then the next day, he's defaming her character. Okay, so they're already married. So what are you doing for lo yisia le'isha? So lo yisia le'isha by motzi shemra sharei ishto hi. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So lama namar imeno inyan la motzi shemra teneu linyan ones. Vimeno inyan la fanav teneu linyan la acharav. So since it's unnecessary, since it's superfluous, it allows us to cut it out. Cut and paste, and what are we pasting it to? We're pasting it to now ones. And which section of ones are we pasting it to? Acharav. Meaning that in the event that he was monitor, and then he married her, and then he divorced her, so now we have this extra phrase of velosi alisha. Oh, now you got to marry her. So therefore it's a lava nitek la asay, and a say that we cut out from motzi shemra. Okay, and that's why you're not going to get malchus. Ve'ema. V'imeinu in lefan of the motzi shemra teneu linya acharav didei. They're all locking. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait a second, cut and paste? Okay, fine. In other words, halacha allows us, methodology allows us to cut and paste. But why are you cutting it out and pasting it to ones? Cut it out and paste it to motzi shemra. Meaning you cut it out from motzi shemra, so reapply it to motzi shemra. And achinam, the Gemara says, that's a good point. V'asi ones v'gamar mine. So the Gemara says, and what are we going to then do? Once we know that by motzi shemra it's a lavani teklase, so we're going to go from motzi shemra over to ones. So the Gemara says, "By my gamari, I know it's in parentheses, but in other words, then how are you going to learn it out based on the arguments that we already offered today? We already pointed out that the arguments that were already offered today are not good enough. They're not good enough arguments. Learning from Motzi Shemra over to Ones, Motzi Shemra lokel mashalim Ones, you're mashalim, no malchus. So the Gemara says, so that's not going to work out." Malamotzi shemra shekin lo asa maisa. Sorry, the wrong argument. Motzi shemra, you didn't do an act. Ones, you did an act. You can't learn out from motzi shemra over to ones. Okay, sorry, I gave the wrong argument. Anyway, ella amarava. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to have to do. Let me just reset the question one more time, because perhaps we got a little bit lost in the forest over here, just to set up the question. Question is, we know that if a man's ma'anis a woman and he performs the mitzvah of lo yisia le'isha and he marries her, and then he violated the law of lo yuchal shachal kol yamav, you're not allowed to divorce her, and he divorced her. So now he's going to get malchus, so the braisa said, well, if he's Yisrael, he's not going to get malchus because he could just simply remarry her. Okay. And the question on the table is as follows. Rav Yochanan says this is not a lav nitak la'aseh. Why? Because a lav nitak la'aseh is only where the aseh presents itself only when he violated the law. That's not true over here. Over here, the asay existed before he violated the law. He had a mitzvah to marry her before the law was violated. So this is an asay independent of the law. Therefore, it's not a law anitak la'asay. Therefore, if he divorces her, he should be subject to malchus. That's Rav Yochanan's rule. The problem is, the Braisa says, he's not going to get malchus. Our question now is, why is he not going to get malchus? Rav Yochanan, if your rule is a good rule, and it's a true rule, so then you shouldn't be getting malchus you should be getting malchus under these circumstances, and Bryson says you don't get malchus. That's the Gemara's question. We have now spent almost an amud of Gemara trying to find an extra phrase from either Motzi Shemra or from Ones, learning it out through a Kal v'chomer, now creating an extra phrase, cutting out that extra phrase, applying it to afterwards to create a fluid lav anitek la'aseh. The Gemara aborted that argument, and now the Gemara is going to give another argument. Amar Rava, Kol yamav ba'amod ve'achzer v'chein ki asa rabba, Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan, kol yamav ba'amod ve'achzer. And so the Gemara answers over here that, look, here's how we're going to answer it. We're going to answer it by saying that we're going to have to look at the lav slightly differently. Or we're going to have to look at the assay slightly differently. Look at the Rashi, Alam Arava. Rashi is the last narrow lines on the page, where Rashi writes, look, it is a lav anitak l'asei. It is. Because when the Torah formulates, and the Torah says to the Ma'anes, don't divorce her. The Torah doesn't just simply say, lo yuchal shacha, don't divorce her. The Torah says, kol yamav. You know what the Torah is saying within those instructions of kol yamav? Rashi writes beautifully. My kol yamav, hachi kamar. Lo sehe bishlichusea kol yamav, ala yachzi rana. Meaning that when the Torah says to the Ma'anis, you must marry her, included in that is, and don't divorce her. Meaning that the two are coupled together from the very beginning. It's not that the Aseh existed independent of the Los Aseh. When the Torah says, you marry her, included in that is, don't divorce her. Those go hand in hand from the very beginning of their marriage. Va'akarchach amod va'achzer kamar. The Torah says, look, you now, the two of you, again, I'm just going to keep adding parenthetically, if she's agreeable, close parentheses, the two of you now are locked hand in hand together. You marry her, and you can't divorce her. That you can't divorce her is not at a later point in time. That you can't divorce her goes back to the point of the marriage, right? In other words, it's as if the Masada Kedushin says to them at the marriage, look, this is a... I don't know how much he's going to disclose to the participants, and my recommendation is he discloses nothing. But it's as if he says to the Chasan Kala under the chuppah, look, you're married and you can't divorce her.
Rabbi Yochanan can't use this argument.
Rabbi Yochanan uses this argument. This argument is the defense of his entire principle.
So you get Loka, you don't get Loka.
You're not going to get Malkus because it's a lav anitak l'asei. The question was all predicated on the fundamental thinking that this is not a lav anitak l'asei because the asei existed independent of the lav. Meaning, first the Torah introduces, you marry her, and what if you divorce her? So it's not, in other words, the asei existed outside of the lav. What the Gemara now is saying is, we misunderstood. The asei is not existing outside of the lav. The lav and the asei are coupled together. They're hitched one to another. The moment that he marries her, at that point in time, there's also a law of you may not divorce her. Okay?
But it's not an absolute law of anything less safe because after he divorces her, she may marry somebody else. So then there's no law of anything.
That's an excellent point. Stay tuned. Right. That's coming up. That's tomorrow's daf. Okay. That's step two of this whole discussion. So Malamotzi Shemra, I'm sorry, let's just do two more lines. The Gemara says, what do you mean? This doesn't look like the lav of Chasima. So in other words, this is asking on Rav Yochanan's original rule. Rav Yochanan's original rule is that when you have a lav, and there's an assay, but the assay is not there to be menatek. So you're not going. So Rav Yochanan says, under those circumstances, you are going to get Malkus, and the Gemara is bothered right now by a basic question. Again, like I said in the beginning of Shir today, the prototype case of Malkus is Chasima. If something does not look like Chasima, you shouldn't be getting Malkus. I'm like Mishim de Kasabe Rachmana Aseya Sarah Megra Gara. So the Gemara asks back as a simple retort. Okay, so it happens to be that for this lav, there's an Asay hovering around it. So, okay, so what? Meaning, it's a lav, right? Yes, I know there's an aseh hovering around it, but it's a lav. And if it's a lav, you're going to get Malkus. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's now challenge the very premise of lav anitak laseh. Okay, so there's an aseh connected to it. So what? You violate the lav. The Gemara says, and Dave, this is what I told you, it's coming up, and here it is, as promised. Amarle, hahu l'netuke lav hu da'asa. No. When you have a lav anitak la'asei, do you know what the asei is doing? It's nituk. It's basically expunging the lav. The Torah says you violated the lav, okay. Here's now instructions of what to do if you violate the lav. And if you do this, it's nituk ha-lav. It's a total erasure, it's a total expunging of the lav. So that's why under those circumstances you're not going to get malchus, because there's a way of erasing the lav. But if it's not a lav anitak lase, even though there may be an ase surrounding the lav, even though there may be like the example that we cited earlier this morning, where you walked into the Beis HaMikdash while tameh, you violated the lav. Oh, but there's an ase that revolves around it. Meaning, well, why not just exit? Yeah, but that ase was not designed for the lav. That ase exists independent of the lav. There we'll make the argument of, okay, you violated the lav, and that's it, and we're done. And you're going to get malchus. Yes, there's an ase, but that ase is just hovering around. When the Torah gives a clear prescription, this is the remedy to do in the event that you violated this particular lav, so now the Gemara formulates, and Gemara says, so that now is nituk. That is an allowance of the Torah, that's a formula for the Torah, that this is how you're going to wipe out this particular lav, and that's why you're not going to get malchus. At Kana, we stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up.